show with the Irish show with the Irish show.
Sometimes it's good to just yell about football. What are you doing? Don't do this to me, Harry! The Ohio State. It's Ohio State! What do you mean, the? It's a poison. I almost stroked out and died over it. I'm glad to be at the party. I'm mad we're this late. You ain't a captain of nothing but a sinking ship. That helps the defense without them even doing a damn thing. Doing a damn thing. Get a call in line. 312-988-15. You tell Johnny all you've heard and seen. Listen, welcome in, welcome back to the St. Patrick's Day hangover edition of the Always Irish Show. And the funny thing is, I had that written in my intro way before multiple of you wrote in here, man, I'm dragging after this weekend. I think some of you are dragging from Saturday night still. I could tell people were having a good time Saturday night. It was awesome. So it is funny to me, though. I'm like, man, I guarantee some of these people are still going to be struggling. And sure enough, there you are. I'm like, I'm writing this in there just because it's a funny thing to say in the intro. And sure enough, multiple of you are dragging your carcasses in here on a Monday morning. It's a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing. Welcome in. Welcome back, everybody. We got a few calls already. I'm going to go to you guys early. So I will give you your time so you could go on with your day. I'm trying to be better with that, you guys. As far as like getting people on that have busy stuff going in their day and they don't have an hour to wait. Also, sometimes though, I know if I don't get through my main points, then I take calls, an hour goes by and I didn't even say what I wanted to say about it. It's a big balancing act, but I'm going to go over to you guys here, see what you guys think. Dr. John, what's going on? Pat's back. We'll talk about that a little bit. It's good to see everybody. So let's get into this, get into the through the introduction so we could go to our callers. I got a few different topics that I wanted to go over, throw at you guys. So I'm glad you're all here. I'm glad you're all in one piece. Even if you got a little headache, I'm glad you're here. So thanks. Thank you for that. Do it. Subscribe if you haven't yet. Appreciate it very much. Give the video a thumbs up. That helps Johnny Boy out as well. Notifications on that way you alerted every time a new episode drops. I know you don't want to miss it. Twitter. Search bar Always Irish or at Always Irish Inc. Emails alwaysirishandy@gmail.com. Audio only anywhere you want it. You can get it. Even if you don't want to see my face, you can still hear the show. It's a good way to go. Call-in lines, you know what they are, apparently. 312-988-15. You dialed up. Tell me all you heard and seen. Instagram, Facebook, Always Irish Inc. USA Today, Irish Wire. You can read all about it. Patreon.com/AlwaysIrish. Former captain, leading tackler, Mike Goolsby and myself breaking it all down. We're going to have our debate probably tonight or tomorrow. And we'll see where that falls on some issues he wants to throw at me. So he disagrees vehemently and we're going to hash it out. And I love those kind of scenarios. It's healthy. It's beautiful. Good morning, Always Irish Senior. I've been eating that soda bread he made. He gave me a full loaf of it when I left his house yesterday, a full loaf of that heavy soda bread. It's like 10 pounds. Oh, baby, crispy crust. Ooh. It's a fantastic thing. So thanks to my parents for hosting the event, preparing the food, doing all that yesterday. So thank you very much. No, oh my God. I don't know who this Notre Dame account is. And I don't know why you would write this in, but I'm going to laugh at it anyways. Show us your face, brother. Clayton Bigsby. I don't know why you threw that in there, but I'm definitely going to acknowledge it because it's amazing and hilarious. Show us your face, brother. We want to see your face. You want to see my face? You want to see my face? And then everybody's head like explodes. You want to see my face? If you know what I'm talking about, you know why I'm laughing because that's funny, man. Also, I would be remiss if I forgot to mention the ND Subway Alumni.com. Those are my partners. I really appreciate all the work they do focusing on the Subway Alumni group specifically. That is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And Notre Dame doesn't have this reach without this group. Get yourself a Lewski. Get yourself some shirts. Get yourself whatever you want. Thank you to those guys. And again, I will never agree to sponsor or do anything with anybody here unless I personally bet them. They're friends of the show, people that I trust, people that I know. Okay? Looking out for you guys on that. Okay. I see Pat's on a hold here too. Pat, you're probably going to want to have a longer conversation than the others to get us caught back up here. So a couple things here. First, no, we'll see. I hope you all had a good weekend. Good St. Patrick's Day. We had a fun time Saturday night. Pat did the right thing. It was his wife's birthday. She deals with him all the time, lets him golf, all this different stuff. He did the right thing. So it was good that Pat was able to get out, hang out with the wife. We had a good show. I was able to give more callers time, you know, without me and Pat going back and forth. It worked out good. But Pat, just know people were asking about you. People were asking, where's Pat? What's he doing? All this stuff. So people were interested. But we had a really good, fun time Saturday night. I want to thank you guys. Different group on a Saturday night. The overlappers from the morning into Saturday night are always really interesting. It's just a different vibe on a Saturday night. So that was really, really fun to get back into. I think we might do, Roger, yes. I think we might do a Friday night one. I'm going to Florida Saturday, and I'm going to be there for a week. So we may go live Friday this week so I could get an extra one in before we fly out Saturday morning and I'm gone for a week in Florida. I will try to record from the balcony, maybe do a live from the balcony where we chat. I'm not going to have the call feature while I'm in Florida. So I'll still post my episodes and do some stuff from the patio there by the golf course. So that's probably going to be the plan. But for the live streams in the morning, that following week, it's not going to be consistent. Understand, I'm on vacation. It's, you know, spring break for the kid. We're getting out of here for a little bit. So one thing I wanted to mention briefly, then I'll just give it to the callers here because we got a few now. Chicago people are already arguing over Fields and Caleb Williams and all this stuff, and it's starting to blow up heavy. Right when Fields got traded and all that, it's wild. Okay. I'm seeing these Twitter debates. I'm so glad I'm not emotionally invested in the Bears. This would be absolutely just, I'd be losing my mind. The Bears Twitter accounts that have no interest in college football, like whatever, they don't watch it. They don't care. They're like Bears accounts that only talk about the Bears and pro football. They're already debating back and forth. I don't like that the guy paints his nails. Other people love that he paints his nails. And is he a good leader or bad? And why didn't he talk to the media after a loss? I have no idea how this is going to go. I just know I'm so glad it doesn't matter to me. I would be losing my mind trying to figure out where the realities are of all this from what I know of Caleb from college and apply it to the Bears and everything that the Bears do wrong with quarterbacks. And then you add Caleb and all that comes with him, the good and the bad or whatever you think of him. I'm just glad I don't care. I'm just glad I don't care. That is my overall opinion. Like I just all night last night seeing these debates, I'm just going, it isn't going to move the needle for me. I'm supremely interested, but it isn't going to kill my emotions either way. But it is why I just started laughing the second I saw these people debating. What do you feel about his nails? I don't want a guy that paints his nails in Chicago. This is Chicago. And other people, I love that he's got that swag. I don't want anything to do with it. And now this is my life. I don't want anything to do with it, but now in this market, this is going to be my life. Every single day, Caleb Williams talk forever. Like, I have no idea how it's going to work out, but it's just thankful I don't care. Okay, that's all. So we have that. One more quick thing, then I'll give it over to the callers. What do you make of the ND Pod of Gold? The 26 scholarship offers, they went out on St. Patrick's Day. They call it the Pod of Gold. I will ask some of you that follow recruiting every single minute in a way I'm unwilling to do now in my old age after being burned for 25 years in a row by living and dying that way. And you got to understand, this was in the old days. The recruiting wasn't as, it wasn't like this on Twitter, and you didn't have rivals. You didn't have On3, or you might add rivals, but you had like one recruiting service or something. Like, it was not the industry that it is now every day. It was wild to find the information almost back when I'm talking. And I just don't have that in me anymore. I don't have that in me anymore. So, I mean, when we get further down the road in recruiting, I do, when we have these targets and there's interest, I just cannot buy into all these guys. Just, I've been down this road too many decades, and too many times Notre Dame has ended up on the short end of the stick for me to live and die and refresh my screen 80 times on a blog 15 years ago to see if we got a guy. Like, it's, I'm going to ask some of you that do follow it that closely, what do you take away from the Pod of Gold offerings? That is a real question, because it's such a broad offering of all these guys. And I'm just wondering if there's any big picture stuff any of you guys could pull out of that if you're Recruit Nick and you follow it real close. Here's a few things that I think about it from reading about it. Number one, very organized operation. They are not offering a bunch of guys just to offer a bunch of guys. Very organized, specific operation with a lot of research. This is not, you know, oh, all the four stars, cast a big net and throw them an offer, whatever. No, there's a lot of work that goes into this. Very organized, timely operation. Speaking of timely, the timing of this now allows Notre Dame to get in on guys earlier and plant the Notre Dame seed. And that's a big deal from the articles I've been reading about a timeline being moved up, and it allows Notre Dame to maybe get that initial personal touch in of like, Roger, a Pod of Gold is what they call it, P-O-D, not P-O-T. And it's like their big offering of the next year's class where they do a bunch of offers. I think it was like 100 or whatever, and they call it the Pod of Gold. And they do a nice social media campaign with it. So I understand the timing allows Notre Dame to get in and plant that seed a little early to get guys interested in Notre Dame, introduce them to Notre Dame. Tom, good to see you in here, man. I hope you're hanging in there and busting out of the place you've been in. So the timing on that, I understand, helps Notre Dame. Why is it snowing, bro? It is under 30 degrees or something here. It's freezing. It is freezing here, man. I let the dogs out this morning. It is cold. It is cold. It does not. I'm going to Florida. I'm getting out of here. A larger net. Oh, I think it's right near 100 offers, I understand, which is a larger net. That coincides with Freeman's recruiting philosophy. When he took over, he told you, we're going to cast a wider net. Figure out what of those guys are Notre Dame that are good players, throw a wide net, figure out who has the grades, who's the right fit, who's interested back, and then we hone it in from there. Rather than Kelly, which was less numbers but more specific on who he wanted to go at, this way you're getting a wider net. It's more work because there's just, you got to recruit everybody hard, and if it's a wider net, then there's more of them. So people have been speaking about that wider net. As far as the actual guys they're offering, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know about these 26 guys and all that. Like, I'm just not there yet with recruiting to get into that part. Matt Miller, sinus infection season in full effect. Dude, I had that for like a month. And I'm hoping it's not coming back because all this hot, cold weather. So that's the deal I understand with the Pod of Gold. The other thing is it's a social media hit. And I know some people roll their eyes at that, but the kids like it. The kids love it. and Notre Dame social media stuff and general media stuff, it's been a night and day switch from the Kelly era to the Freeman era as far as getting more modern. You'll even notice they do the little football clips. They'll have modern hip hop songs in the background, like modern culture. All of that's gotten up to date. And I know that's a small detail to a lot of people, but all of these recruits live on social media, and that's a big deal to them to get this offer and the shiny gold and the whole thing. So that's what I gather out of the pot of gold. I don't know too much about all these kids yet. And I'm not going to lie to you and act like I was the way I was when I was 20, living and dying on if Eddie Vanderdoes comes to Notre Dame and I'm wasting my life away, hitting refresh to find out. What a loser. What a loser. Where did all that worry get Johnny? Seriously, that's my question. Where did all that worry for me all those years? Oh, am I going to go out and chase some girls around? No, I know what I'm going to do. Click refresh to see if some recruit came to Notre Dame. What a loser. Where did it get me? No major bowl wins, no championships, and a messed up, jacked up hairline. That's what it got me, all this Notre Dame worry. So forgive me, I can't live and die with recruiting that way for a class 2 years out. I can't do it. Jeez. What do we got? Couple chats, then we'll go to the callers. Oh, Sly Fox, good to see you. Good morning, Irish Nation. Great show Saturday night. Keep up the hard work. Thank you. It was a very, very fun show. Everybody was in a festive mood. Pat, apologies for missing Saturday. Wife got a little older, so I took her out on the town. You did the right thing. You did the right thing. Steven, morning, Irish Nation. Hopefully everybody survived yesterday. They're dragging anus, but a lot of them are in here anyways. Nikki Dean, good to talk to you Saturday. Nikki Dean loves to be heard and seen. Great show Saturday. Thanks for taking my call. I forgot to ask you what you did to upset Swarbrick. Just a question for discussion. Here's what I did. When Notre Dame's administration bungled the Ludwig hiring, I lit Jack up and I was in this studio saying Notre Dame dropped the ball here. They made a mistake. I don't care what lie they tell you to smooth it over for the media. Notre Dame dropped the ball here, messed this entire thing up, and Jack's responsible for that. Ultimately, even if he didn't make the specific mistake, it falls on him, and that's unacceptable. So then Jack gets in his exit interview on Irish Illustrated and says, the problem with that whole situation was people reporting from their basement that don't know the realities. Whatever. Maybe it was just a general statement of that people say, you know, that guy in his mom's basement. Maybe it was that. But it is not lost on me. No one went harder than I did saying the administration screwed that up multiple times on multiple videos from my basement. And then that's the number one thing Jack said about that situation is, you know, I'm frustrated with that because there's people in their basement that are reporting things that they don't know. Oh, I know, Jack. I know you guys messed up and then you had to cover it up to try and put out the fire. That's what I know for a fact, buddy. I know that for a fact. And you sending me an email asking for money when you messed this up was the icing on the cake. Just tells me you don't know the surroundings. You're not feeling the room. You messed up and then you ask me for money? No, I'm asking you for money for all the years off my life you guys have taken by not getting football right. How about that? $2 holla for Rodney. Every time I get out, they pull me back in. Oh yeah, baby. That's for sure. Look at this. $2 holla from the Phillip. Ladies, number two seed. All six of them. Go Irish. Hey, man. Yeah. Good job by them. Keep it going. Keep it going. Yeah, exactly, Matt. That's a damn good point. Johnny's a step above the guy in his mom's basement. He's in his own basement. You're darn right. I am a basement dweller, but at least it's my own. Oh, man. All right. We got a bunch of callers today. Let's try and move through them. Give people a chance. We'll go through quick. Connor and Rodney, you guys, I owe you. Let's see what Pat has real quick. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Johnny. So a number of things that, as you were talking, dragging anus, really?
Yeah. you're dragging, man. People were hammered on the Saturday night show, Pat. People were letting it rip. They're dragging anus.
That's a hell of a hangover.
it's just a saying. Don't make me imagine what it would actually look like.
Well, here's what happened. As soon as you said, I was thinking, oh God, this is gross.
this is not like Wikipedia for medical stuff, man. Don't Google it. Don't Google that.
Yeah, it's definitely not something you want to Google. Next thing, a bunch of people are inquiring in the chat about the Purdue game. Yes, I will be at the Purdue game. I will be on the road. We are taking the always Irish flag, even if we can't get John out of his basement, to West Lafayette, Indiana.
Oh,
and
that's...
we are doing a tailgate. Adam Dowling and I are heading this up. My niece actually goes to Purdue, so it's going to be my whole family will probably be there, so it's going to be a great time. Everybody who's interested, let Johnny know. He can give you my contact information, and we'll get it going.
All right, I like that. I like that, Pat. Now let me see if that's feasible for me, or if I want to give up that week and the Miami week of doing the post game shows and all that. We have time to figure that out, but at least we know we'll have a group that will do that.
Yeah, we're definitely gonna have something there. If you want to come, obviously that'd be great. But
Tom Frawley, Tom's talked about making that journey too, over from Chicago. So maybe maybe he has a bunch of people in his group. Okay, that's good to know. And I will also probably cut this up and use it and put it out as a short, so people know that that's the plan. So that'd be good. That'd be interesting to try and take over another place like that. And you can have the flag for sure.
Oh yeah. It's a short ride, so it's easy one to do. All right, the last thing. So I did go back yesterday morning and watch a bit of the Saturday show. I didn't watch the whole thing. I think it was Mark with glasses said, "I'm whipped."
Did you hear my response?
I like how you pushed back, though, John.
Did you hear my response? Okay, like there's no way. Like I can accuse you of a lot of things. That is not one of them, man. People can accuse you of a lot of things. And I made sure I was like, that ain't it with this dynamic. This guy golfs and drinks a lot. Okay. Like,
I golf and drink all the time. I do. I just got back from a golf trip with my brother in Arizona. And then I was like, I land from Arizona. I was like, shit, my wife's birthday's in a week. I better figure out something to do for her. So I took her to St. Louis, which, by the way, we went to a steakhouse called Carmine's in St. Louis. Excellent. Absolutely excellent. It cost me $500 though.
Wow.
They don't have prices on their menu.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, a couple bottles of wine will do it.
That's how you know you're somewhere fancy when they don't even give you the price. It's just like everybody in here shouldn't even worry about it. Everybody in here isn't going to worry about it. Yeah. I like that, Pat. Ooh, fancy. Yeah.
It was a great weekend. You know, St. Louis is a little bit quiet for being St. Paddy's Day weekend, but glad you guys had your show. Glad everybody had a good time. I think I should be here Friday.
Beautiful.
I'm not going to give any Notre Dame thoughts. I'm going to save it for when I'm actually on because there's a lot. But
yeah, that works perfectly. So maybe Friday night's a good option. We fly out Saturday during the day, and then that way we could get that one in, and then I'll see what's up when we're in Florida. So that sounds good, man. And I'm happy for you guys. Get away. What did the in-laws have the girls for the night for you guys up?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
that nice.
Saturday night, so they had them for the night.
Good. Well, good for you guys. And Pat, people were saying, is Pat going to call in Saturday night, whatever? And I kept saying, if he does, I don't even want to answer it. He should be busy right now. Like, go be with your wife. I didn't even want that call from you, bro.
I didn't even know you went live because normally you send it to me, even if you think I might not be there, and you didn't send it to me this time. So I had no idea you went live.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew you were out of the mix, and I wanted to make sure you were out of the mix. Lauren deserves that. I'm glad you guys had a good one. And Angela's saying,
I do like some people. I saw some of the comments in the chat. People said like somebody actually married Cotter, and then Angela came back with, "Oh my God, yes!" And she's a saint. Oh yes, you put it in here now again. Lauren is a saint.
Yeah.
And John, you and Angela, you guys know better than anyone. Boy, did I outkick my cover.
Yeah. It's borderline amazing, actually, when you, it really is. It's, I think about it all the time. It's borderline amazing. And she's a better athlete than you. Like, there's all these things on the list. It's unbelievable. It's, it really is quite the,
so much, she's so much smarter than I am. Like, everything. And let's not mention just how good looking she is. And
yeah.
And I'm a leprechaun.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you did good, man. You did good. But you're a good guy. You deserve some nice things in life. So good for you, Pat. Good for you. Jeez. And then we'll keep this plan going. So now we got three things on the menu. We got the blue and gold tailgate, and then we have the Miami, Ohio game, and now we have a Purdue thing. And these are things that we'll keep everybody in the loop on so that our group can all be together on all these events. So now we got something growing.
Why did we choose Miami of Ohio over Northern?
You're the one who told me right away Miami's Ohio is going to be the game next year. That you could. You're the one who presented that to me. Yeah, you told me that.
Did you see even the university dropped the ticket prices for Northern way down?
Did they just because it's Northern? But the problem, Pat, it's too late now because a lot of people have already made plans for Miami Ohio week, we're locked in.
That's fine. I'm still good with Miami Ohio. Yeah.
All right. Well, then that sounds
good.
You know
why? You know what? I was thinking the head coach, Chuck Martin. I like Chuck Martin.
Yeah. But then the trouble with that is it's back-to-back weeks you're going to be at the game. So that's a little tricky because isn't Purdue back-to-back with Miami? Okay. Well, the good news is it'll be good weather. Yeah. So at least you're going to have hopefully warm weather for those events.
Well, I'm pretty sure the Purdue game will be a night game.
Yeah, probably. So, Pat, thanks for being back in the mix, man. Glad you had a good weekend.
Yep. Winter's over. Time to start talking football.
There you go. I love it.
Football. That's what my life is now.
Beautiful. And golf. And the Masters coming up. See ya. All right. We got another event for the Always Irish crowd. It's going to be interesting. Oh, Nick Dean says, Pat is cool. I haven't met Lauren yet. Lauren was at that tailgate. You guys were there, right? The blue and gold tailgate. Lauren was there. The problem was it was so cold. I think she might have been in the car, Nick, because you guys were at that blue and gold tailgate, and so was Lauren, but I think it was cold and she was sitting in the car or something because she was definitely there. 386, you're in the mix. Rodney coming up after that. 859 after that. What's going on, man? Good morning.
What's up, John? How you doing, dude?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for checking in, man. Been a while since we spoke. Looks like all the way back in the middle of the regular season. There's been a lot going on in Notre Dame. Oh, yeah. There's been a lot going on in Notre Dame land, my friend. So what's on your mind? We could go wherever your mind is. We could go there.
Well, man, I just think I know a lot of people in the chat and on your show that, you know, what Freeman has done. But like you were talking about earlier, it's those little things that I think are going to go a long way for not only him, but this program. Like, there are so many things that he has done in such a short amount of time that I have seen. It's just energy. The energy he's brought to the program is something else. It's what we've been asking for. It's what we've needed.
Man, it's really interesting you bring that up. I literally have a bullet point up on the notes today, and it regards the people that are being negative on the team, negative on Freeman, see all only the flaws, glass half empty with what's going on. And I've taken a lot of heat for being a Freeman, a homer, and protecting him in a way I wouldn't protect Kelly, all of that. And I literally wrote a note, and the point of it was, we've been let down pretty, if you're my age, pretty much your entire life that you remember, you've been let down by Notre Dame in these big moments. We haven't accomplished anything. And the more you hope, the more you get let down. That's been our reality. And with your age, your reality too. But the note that I put on.
I'm 28 in May. Yep.
Yep. And I'm like 10 years older, 10, 11 years older. So if I haven't experienced anything good, neither of you, right? So here's what I put though. Why this is different. Is it's being built different. And that's what I wanted when Kelly left. Whoever came in was a different way to put together modern Notre Dame football. A new energy, a new, exactly, a new way to look at it. So that's my point, is it's being built differently. And that gives me hope. We may end up with a different result. And then you want to be like, well, what do you mean by that? It's all the things you said. All those tweaks to recruiting behind the scenes, getting the NIL up to par and having Brady Quinn be the face for it and the guy signing the checks, figuring out the transfer portal, how to be able to get more guys in and speed the timeline up that they could get accepted or not so it doesn't hold up the program. Working with all these other people that are in the cog to get them on your side to want to break ground on a Goog renovation. There are a lot of things behind the scenes here that you don't always see that are changing in a positive direction. All of those things are what I'm referencing that give me hope. The effort in recruiting is night and day from what we've had the last 25 years. It is night and day. It is that different. Do we have all five stars like Georgia or whatever? No, we don't. I'm just telling you the effort is there in a different way. All of that.
But he's getting them on campus at least. At least he's getting them on campus, bro. And he's making the effort to do that. Shit.
Now.
You're spot on. You're
listen,
spot on.
Man. But I understand why people question it. I get it, because we haven't gotten over the hump and they've seen some things for Freeman that aren't great and show that he's not a finished product. Like, I get all that. My point is, we wanted different. This program needed different, and you're getting different. That's what I wanted. Yep. There's no guarantee it's going to work perfect, but I wanted different, and they're really starting to do some things differently. That gives me hope. Yep. Maybe there's a different result at the end. And if there isn't, and we end up in a similar spot, at least I know that we tried it another way, and I don't have to ask myself that question forever.
Yeah. The little things. You have so many former ND and NFL players' sons that want to play for Freeman. That's one little tidbit. And then you have the stability of coaches that have been in the game for decades at this point that want to stay with Freeman because they can see his vision as well. And that's huge right there. Like, that's what the program has needed, is stability. And now you have that in both OC and DC. That is just, massive for Freeman.
Yep. And then also, I do have to give credit to the other people involved in the athletic department, mm-hmm. or whatever. They want to work with Freeman. 100%. It's very clear they want to work with Freeman. It's very crystal clear. They want to go out of their way to get the things done that he thinks need to get done to make Notre Dame more competitive within our, guardrails at Notre Dame.
Yep.
All of these things are positive momentum. Now, when you go out there in the biggest game of the year and run 10 guys on defense and lose the game, all those things I talk about behind the scenes, don't overdo that. Like, it doesn't mean that didn't happen or wasn't a bad moment. I'm just saying it's being put together differently. And that is what gives me hope. It's not Kelly re-racking the same thing for year 14. He did the first, 13 that didn't get us anywhere. Like, over a certain level, it's not just re-racking that, doing the same thing and hoping for a different result. That was making my hair fall out. So
That's insanity.
But that's what we were doing.
That's what he made us believe. That's what he wanted us. That's bro. What he made the fans believe. And I give credit to my brother because, like, 2 years before Kelly left, like he said, my brother wanted them gone. Like, he could see the writing on the wall. He knew that he wasn't invested in the program. And credit to him, he called it.
Things felt so stale. Like, they just felt stale. Yep. Like, there was no new energy, no pop. Even when things were going pretty well towards the end, there wasn't, like, that pop. It just felt stale. And you know what else, too? I really think Kelly felt that. Kelly felt like it was getting stale. Like, quiet quitting in a way. He proves it because he was looking to get out and he got out. So everything was stale and we needed a change. And I'm really excited just because this gives us a chance to maybe get a different result. And that excites me. So I'm right there
people,
with
people
you.
People just need to start appreciating the change. People need to start appreciating the change.
And you know what else? The effort.
Connor, the effort. To me and my, it just seems that like, it just seems Freeman has done so much for this program in such a short amount of time that Kelly like barely did in his 12-year tenure. Like, Freeman's been to more games for other teams than Kelly ever did. He's done more for the program, I just feel like, than he did outside of football.
Those are extra touches. Those are extra touches. You know, you're going to get a response to that saying, why do I care if he's sitting at the women's basketball game, you know, put 11 guys on the field on defense? Like, that's what you're going to hear back. But what I say is, all these little things that start adding up in the bucket end up building to something that isn't little. All those little personal touches, all the little extras, sending the season ticket holders that personalized fold-out leather thing, thanking them for their whatever and all, that's new. How about this one? Mm-hmm. Getting the full email list of all of our former players and putting together something every day for them to do over Blue and Gold weekend and inviting them all in for that. Every one of them that's in that database got that invitation. Not just Freeman's guys, like Kelly only invited his little crew back. All those guys are invited. You know what? You know what else? Listen to this. Listen to how far this goes. I don't know if people know this is going on. Freeman, once a quarter, so four times a year, does a State of the Union of Notre Dame football event where they send the Zoom link to all those former players, and Freeman gets up there and updates them on where we're at in NIL, what we're trying to do here, how recruiting's going. Any of those former players could click on that Zoom and watch Freeman tell them what's going on behind the scenes and kind of where things are at on the inside. Bro, that is how you, welcome these guys back in and build that relationship. All of these things matter to me, but you got to ultimately win on the field for them to pay off in the biggest way. So listen, 100%. I get it. We got to start winning more games and the dumb mistakes got to stop. I get it. So I'm with you.
Nope, I'm right there with you. Yep. We're on the same page. It's been a while since we talked, but we're right there with each other.
Yeah. And right there. Man, I really want some eye level results, not just for you, not just for me in this show, but also for Marcus, because I see the work and I really want it to pay off. And it really hasn't yet. We haven't won enough for him to get that credibility, and he's got to earn it. But I see the effort, and I know it's genuine, and I want to see that payoff.
Yep. And I think, just to wrap it up, that's where I think you see Den Brock and Golden's. They see the love that Freeman has for Notre Dame, and I think that's why they wanted to sign these contracts, because they really want to win one for Notre Dame, but I think they love Freeman too. They really want to win a championship for Freeman, and I think – them signing that dotted line just shows their passion and the true love for Notre Dame too. And that stability, I think, is going to carry a lot of weight here in the next couple of years. And boy, that talent that he's got coming in the building, whew, always Irish fan, it's happening.
I hope so. It's happening. I hope so for all of us. But that is what gives me the most hope, is all the different ways it's being put together this time. Leads me to think maybe you could get a different result. That's my ultimate take. But man, I'm with you. But all this potential and all these what ifs and all that, eventually Notre Dame's got to put it together on the field, win some big games, and actually gain full trust and respect from everybody. And the only way to do that is on the field, not off it. And that's the reality. Yep. And Freeman knows it. And he knows what year three is for Notre Dame coaches. He knows the new playoffs here. He knows and feels the pressure, and he's open to it. I just want it to all pay off one of these times.
I do too. I'm visioning right now. The recruiting's been off the charts since he's gotten in the building. And if he wins that first championship and those kids are on a visit holding that trophy and those gold helmets,
oh, man.
Good luck, college football. That's all I got to say. Good luck.
Yeah, and good luck to us too, because we're gonna have one heck of a party, and I don't know how many people are walking out of it. That's so good. Good luck to us too, because if we win something like that, we're, I told people I'm renting a place and we're having a party, and everybody's invited, and it's gonna
shut down South Bend.
Oh, it's gonna be trouble, and I can't. It'd be the best time of my life. So listen, man, I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. It's just all got to pay off on the field for people to buy in. And I think that's fair. If you don't want to buy in until you see that, fine. But I see the markers behind the scenes that tell me things are different. So I want that to be proven true. And we wait and see. So that's what I think, man. And you do good in Florida, and I'll be down there in a week or so. How about that?
Hey, sounds good. I hope you, you'll probably get some good weather while you're here. And yeah, I just want to say thank you again for taking the call. And I know it's been a while, but just appreciate you. And shout out to Always Irish Ram. Y'all are killing it, man.
Hey, thank you.
Big things.
I really appreciate that, man. Onward and upward. I love this community, and it's growing. Thanks, brother. Have a good week. Take care now.
Yeah, brother. Take care, John.
See ya. What a nice guy. Most of my callers are nice. I don't get mean callers. I wish I would. It would actually be more fun if I got some mean callers I could yell at back and forth. Everybody's so darn polite. Even the Ohio State guy that calls in. We got two Ohio State guys that call in, and they're the nicest guys in the world. I want to hate them, but they're so nice. They're like friends now. It's sickening. It really is. It makes me like nauseous how nice those guys are, and I can't like be mean to them. Man, Kent's back. What's up, baby? John, my baby's 10 months old, pushing 11 months. Where is your Always Irish shirt or cap or bottle? A Johnny Boy face shirt? I don't want to scare you, little girl. Kent? You're going to scar your kid for life. You give her a shirt with my face on it. What are you trying to do? Cause lifelong trauma? Like, the last thing I'm making is a shirt for babies with my face on it. Woo. Wow. Wow. Look at this $20 holler from Tom Chris. We will see you guys in a few weeks at Blue and Gold. Can't wait for it, too. They're bringing goodies, too. I can't wait to see you guys. $2 holler from Homer TD. First caller on Saturday night. personal friend of the program. Great guy. Tony, good to see you, man. Hopefully, you're able to get out and golf today. Get out and do some golf. Rodney, what's going on? Tim, after that, what's up, buddy?
Hello, Newman.
What's going on, man? Hey, I gotta ask you. I know you're in the industry, so to speak. Did you have a busy work weekend for all the St. Patrick's Day stuff, or what was the deal?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Like, yeah, we did, and then on Saturday, I left all that mess because we had a long, long band rehearsal night that night, and then we played on St. Patty's Day yesterday. So had a great show. So yeah, man, either way, I was looking forward to calling in. I'm like, man, there is no way. We got so much to do. And by 11:30, man, we had to get up early to move all the band equipment to the venue. And anyway, long story, good St. Patty's Day weekend though, man, very festive, worked my butt off. We worked our butt off. But it felt very fulfilled.
Hello. Did I lose you?
No.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Hey, yep. Gotcha. Sorry. You were gone for a second there. Rod,
no, I just said it felt very fulfilled, man. I'm very fulfilled. It was a great weekend. Long weekend, you know, St. Patty's Day being on Sunday. It's like an all, you know, cause when St. Patty's Day ends, it ends. If it's on a Friday and it's St. Patty's Day, you're not celebrating necessarily Saturday, but like the fact that it was on Sunday, you got a Friday, Saturday. And so I felt like it was like a huge weekend. And don't think I wasn't thinking about Notre Dame stuff, you know, just by extension of the color and the celebration of it all.
Yeah.
You know, I had the Proper 12 Conor McGregor whiskey I tried. Very nice, by the way.
There you go. Rodney, I gotta ask, what's on your mind now? You know, we had that gap where spring practice started, you got some narratives, and then spring break, and now we're getting back into it. I don't know if you want to touch on that. I don't know if you have any thoughts on the CFP negotiations, if you think Notre Dame did a decent job with what they negotiated for that 14-teamer. Wherever you want to go, man, what's on your mind?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up, John, because I actually have a couple questions. I read a little bit about it, and I heard a couple things, and this is kind of this, you know what I mean, John? There's always like, for you, it's all year long, but in my Notre Dame life, man, Notre Dame's always in my radar. You know what I mean? They're always there, but there are times, obviously, when they're literally right in front of my face, and there are times they go to the diagonal, and then sometimes where they're maybe just off to the side, but I can still see them, you know?
Yeah.
These last 2 weeks have been one of those times where I kind of like just haven't been that in tune to what's happening, other than seeing headlines, reading a couple paragraphs, listening to a short, you know, a couple minutes of this or that. So we're going to end in just a second. Let me say hi, Pat, by the way. Hello, Pat. Good to see you on here today. And looking forward to seeing all you guys at the next Always Irish event. Is that 420? That's obviously the next one, right?
Oh, yeah. It's 420 for sure. It's definitely 420. What's everybody going to do for breakfast that day? Oh, I know. Smoke weed every day. Like, I don't know, man.
Oh, I'm telling you, it'll be a lot of fun, though, honestly. Grillsby's going to be there, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be there.
Yeah.
Obviously, Pat.
It'll be fun.
You know, Dr. John, I'm hoping.
Yep, I think he'll be there
anyway,
too.
Congratulations, man, to the women's basketball team on a terror, man, with Neil Ivy. I mean, I just, her ascension feels very similar to Marcus Freeman's to me, you know, in terms of, you know, similar age, you know. You know, she was obviously an alum, but I mean, I just feel like, and then with Shrewsbury too, man. Not only if people want to call them quote unquote progressive hires, they're also the right people for the job. That's what's so beautiful about it, man. Notre Dame has three amazing representatives for what we want to think of as, you know, progressive culture. Great. And also, they're the right people for the job, and they're good people too. It's like, I just want to say that, man. Like, good job to the women, man. I'm liking this whole trifecta. Even though I'm a Notre Dame college football focused guy, man. I don't pay attention to those other things. Anyway, it's really exciting. So I just want to get that out. Okay, now on to college football, the playoff negotiation. Yeah, man, as I understand it, it's like they're going to wait. This is where I get confused. Is it a two-season thing that the 12 team is now locked into? That's what I read. It was two seasons.
Yes, I believe 26 is when that 14 would kick in.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, like, okay. And then, I mean, the 14th, I think what's going to happen, honestly, is you're hearing all this buzz about this, that, and the other. Part of that's media. Part of it is, okay, slow time of the year. Got to have some things to talk about here. Because I do think that model's going to be played out. We're going to see how it looks. And then, look, man, we always know it's probably going to go to 14 because what's a couple more teams, probably a little bit more revenue for that. And then instead of having four teams get a bye, you're going to have two teams get a bye. I don't mind that. I don't think it should go any further. I mean, granted, we haven't seen it play out yet, but I think that's probably kind of the perfect amount of teams. If you really want to say teams that have a viable shot, you go beyond that and it's so watered down. I think 14's fine. Even though it's not been decided, so they're gonna let it play out first. Fine.
But here's the issue, though, Rodney. The issue is, I feel that the people in charge, what dictates a lot of their decision making, isn't like competitive balance. What does this do to the regular season? It's money first, and more games equals more money. And when that's your guiding philosophy, where do you ever stop if more games is more money? Like, I don't know where there's no governor on that when that's your guiding principle. So I don't know where it's going to end.
John, hear me out here. I think, okay, as far as Notre Dame's place and all this, you know, I still remember when I said a few weeks ago, John, that, you know, there's what we see numbers wise as it's shown to us on a paper, right? But then there's like money that, and I don't mean illegally. I don't mean illegally at all. I mean, like, you're talking about the board of trustees and those that have money of their own and whatnot. And then there's that money that isn't really, you know, it's not talked about. And I just wonder, has Notre Dame got so much, which, by the way, sort of incriminates them from not making better decisions in the past on coaching hires and being cheap. But if we're to assume that Notre Dame has all this money that kind of gets, again, it's not illegal, it's just money that's part of things that we don't talk about. Is that maybe why it seems like, oh, why would Notre Dame take a deal like this when they could have this or that or the other? Do we really understand the numbers as we see them, in other words? Or is there much more to it, much more minutia to that behind this? You know what I'm saying, John? Like, it makes me wonder. Like, maybe we're kind of just seeing things on the surface, and there's a lot of things underneath it that benefits Notre Dame to stay independent. Because I'm telling you, man, at this point, wouldn't it be something? Because I'm now hearing rumors, what I was been kind of alluding to all along, that the ACC and Big 12 might be teaming up, and now we have a three-headed monster, basically. And if you put Notre Dame in that group, if Notre Dame decides to join that group, that I would say, just from prestige alone, when you consider, and especially if Washington State and Oregon State maybe go to that conference, you know, adds a little bit more to it, and whoever else that maybe is disillusioned at another conference maybe jumps over, who knows? Now you have, and that's another thing, John, what if Notre Dame's in charge, is sort of the engine of that, and then he's, oh, wow, Notre Dame's there. Now our team can go there too, and now, you know what I'm saying? Like, it brings up, I'm just saying, wouldn't that be something that Notre Dame pulled in a year or two when they decided it's no longer viable to be independent?
That's
all. We're going to now join the Big 12 ACC.
That is a whole different angle, man, because they weren't going to join the AC as they're currently constituted, or if they start to fall apart. And it made sense that it would be the Big Ten. But then if you have a double conference combining, and then Notre Dame could be the cherry on top, that would be wild. I don't know where this is going to go.
Things out here, John. Let's say
I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know.
The SEC decide, you know, we're going back to the Big 12 now. Now you're really on equal level competition. I'm just saying, John, as we were talking a few weeks ago, and you're obviously ahead of the game over me for sure, and your inside information, there are things happening behind the scenes we may not really understand on the surface. That's all I'm saying. And I'm starting to feel that now. It's like, oh, I'm hearing about the ACC and Big 12 team. That makes all the sense. It's Notre Dame to join them and say, you know, give the middle finger to the Big Ten. Oh, you thought we were joining you? Well, get this, you know. But they join them? That would be very, very, very interesting, man. Yeah, and maybe more in line with what Notre Dame's all about as far as always thinking progressively and, you know, being innovative and things of that nature. And where no one would think that was going to happen. It'd be very interesting. And I love the way Notre Dame stands back for all the crap we give them, man. The fact that they have stayed independent because they see things happening at such an exponential rate. It's like, wait a second. Why should we make any hasty decisions until we know exactly how this is all going to go down? I think it's playing to their benefit.
Yeah. I do like the clause for the look-in year in 28, where Notre Dame and they can reevaluate their contract status with the CFP with no penalty, no, you know, whatever, and it gives them the ability to reevaluate. I like that because it gives you an out if everything trends against you in the game with the money or the conferences or whatever. The one question that I have is, if the ACC really did crumble and fall apart and they lost their best teams or whatever, then what does that do for Notre Dame? That's kind of the issue.
See, but John, I see what you mean. And I think that's why Notre Dame is making the right decision. Everybody's trying to pressure them into doing something before we know really what's going to happen. So let's say the ACC does fall apart and that's no longer an option. Okay. Maybe, like I said, what if Notre Dame just, in a couple of years, things were so different, they just joined the SEC and just said, we're going to be the academic power of the SEC, and that's how we're... I mean, I could see Notre Dame doing something like that, or maybe they just joined the Big Ten. You know, it looks like they're getting pushed in that direction, but man, every time we think it's about to happen, it seems like other things happen that make us question, you know, how much integrity does any of this have? And Notre Dame just waits back in the wings, like, okay, we're going to, you know, I mean, I like the way they've handled independence at this point, that they're not jumping into anything here. I think that they're shrewd enough, you know, value system aside and all the great things we say about Notre Dame aside, I also think they're shrewd enough at the top to understand that they're getting something out of this, John, that, you know, when we see the numbers that don't quite make sense to us, well, we're going to get this amount or that amount. Like, I don't know that we know all that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. I think it's important for Notre Dame to be flexible and leave themselves options, because you don't know where the sands are going to shift. You don't know where the sands are going to shift. A lot of it's beyond your control. You're out on an island alone, kind of as the big independent boy in the football game. You don't have any of that support or a big group to work with. Note, that's a big deal to me that Notre Dame remains nimble and kind of had the flexibility to do what they need to do. So that's why I thought they threaded the needle pretty well on the new 14-team agreement or whatever, and then have your flexibility to do something if you need to. And so I think they're doing a good job. If your Notre Dame was prepared for these negotiations and they had to concede some things, but it's clear there was a good negotiation there working back and forth, I think they're doing a pretty good job of threading the needle to keep us in the game, but give us flexibility.
Yeah, I agree. I that's exactly how they should be handling it. And I think we should have a couple seasons. We see how this 12-team thing plays out, which I think is just fine. Like I said, I kind of thought eight teams was probably the right spot right now. But the more I think about it, I'm like, okay, well, if you want to have an underdog aspect to it, especially this year, and maybe into the future where there's a lot more parity, than we've seen, where it's just two, three, four teams dominating. Now you're getting like eight, nine that are legit. Okay, now you throw two, three more in there that at least as an underdog could get hot at the end or something, and get all their players, healthy at the right time. Whether, maybe another school that's at the top of the heap, the quarterback goes down. I mean, it's interesting. You can actually see that happening. And if you go to 14, I think that's fine too. But I just don't want to go any further than that. John, I want to keep this thing different than everything else. I want it to be its own thing. And actually, I'm kind of excited for it now. I'm like, just from the home, I hope they keep that, man. I hope the new negotiations don't eliminate home field, campus, first round playoff energy. I hope that is not taken away. That's why I'm hoping so bad we get in the top eight spots, or if we're in the top eight, we probably get a home game. So, I guess that's my thoughts right now. Obviously, we got, Jerome Bettis Jr., that was kind of cool. He looks a lot like his dad in the face, that's for sure.
Well, you know what I'm going to say? If you're going to take a guy that isn't the highest rated considered guy, then at least go with the genes, because I know there's NFL genes there. So that's what I'll say. Like, if you're going to go down and take a guy at a little bit of a lower ranking, then I'd prefer the guy with the NFL lineage. And it's never a bad idea to have Jerome Bettis around the Notre Dame program, I can tell you that.
Well, and not only NFL lineage, John, but also lineage of the last great Notre Dame teams. With Bryce Young, Bryant Young, his father. I mean, Bryce Young's father, Bryant Young, obviously. Jerome Bettis. I mean, I like those names. Flanagan. who's the other one that's already on our team? Who am I thinking of?
You know what cracks me up is in that tight end.
I guess Ron Powell's son.
In that tight end room, they got a Flanagan and they're getting a Flanagan. So they get spelled two different ways at the back end. So you're going to have a Flanagan and a Flanagan.
You think of these things, man. I like that.
Oh, Rodney, this is going to be really interesting. This is all new territory. It's new for everybody with this playoff thing. It's going to be a really wild year because nobody's ever seen anything like this before. It's going to be a very, very exciting year.
I can't wait. I got to admit, I was kind of like, this is going too quick. Is it taking away the integrity of college football? Like I said, there are ways to adjust to this whole thing, man, where I would move, like I said, I think teams are going to start getting this idea that probably moving those really big games more maybe to the, where it's the last couple of weeks of seasons a little lighter on teams so they can, they go into the playoffs with, what I'm saying? I can see that happening where you see like the middle of the seasons where you got a lot of these big games, because teams are probably going to want to get healthy for the playoffs and you're going to probably see, I could totally see that scheduling start to happen.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's going to be cool to see this evolve. And I just have confidence that Notre Dame's being nimble enough that they're not going to get left in the dust and they can get ahead of whatever's coming down the road. So I don't know, man. But hey, it's good talking to you on a Monday. Glad you had a busy, good holiday weekend. And then we'll see you in a few weeks at Blue and Gold.
Yeah, you will, man. You will, John. Absolutely. 420, everybody. Take care, John. Have a good one. Yeah, bye.
There you go. You know what's always funny is the edited version of that on the radio where it just goes, smoke every day. All right, here's the argument of the day. Al Washington, doing a good enough job or not? Andrew Gilmore's nailing the point. Need more development. Where's the young guys that can contribute? Goolsby loves Sevilano with a big body of his, over 300 pounds or whatever already, but it probably isn't going to be for this year. I brought up Young, and when it's a legacy, Freeman's not going to get credit for that because it's a legacy. So that's an issue. If you want to talk about the development, who gets the development for Riley Mills, Howard Cross, and JJB? Like, who gets the credit for those? JJB had a great year. I would argue, the most effective transfer we have that year. Are you following me when I say he was the best, most effective transfer we had last year? You know who I didn't mention? The quarterback. JJB was way more consistent than that guy was week in, week out. So you got this debate here on that development and if it's good enough or if it's not good enough with Al Washington. Some people are not sold. I thought that group played better last year than I was planning on them playing. Honestly, they played better on the defensive line than I thought they were playing. You could say, well, then you had a low bar. Maybe I did have a low bar. I'm still wondering who's going to get after the quarterback. Here's something else I cannot answer. How much can Bryce Young play early? Is that a thing or not? I'm asking, is that a thing or not? Does he have the body that's built enough at his age he could come in there and play right away or not? I don't know. I'm genuinely asking. Johnny's 0-2 in his biggest recruiting battle. Scott and Keeley. Yeah, those are rough ones. Are you in between? That's another question I have. Adam, Andrew, whoever. Are we in between where like the older guys from the Kelly, they're phasing out and this is their kind of last year holding the mantle. And then after that, you get the rush of the Freeman era guys that need to backfill and you're going to have to see those guys play. Like that's kind of how I feel is that you're like in that little in between of the older guys phasing out. And then we're going to have a big rush of those young guys that have to contribute in a big way up there. Let's see what happens with Shanklin. That's a big one left on the list. I understand if you have some anxiety there with Al. I did think that group got better throughout the year last year, and I think that's a good sign. They were more productive than I thought. So if you want development, they outperformed expectations to me last year. Again, you could say I had a low bar, but I genuinely kind of did because I didn't know if we had the bodies to be able to hold up in there. And I thought they did a better job. Now, who's your pass rushers, though? Who's your pass rushers, though? That's an issue I have. I know people want Burnham to turn into that. People want Botello to come. Like, this is the year for that. Like, that, if you want to take this unit, whatever you think of it, and go to the next level, you know, you have Riley Mills, you have Howard Cross, you know what you're going to get there. And then you have Oben coming over from Duke. Who's going to get the quarterback? I need more of that. You want to talk about this as a top 10 defense? How do you get into the top 5, 6, 7? I need those guys that can really crank it up. Who's that going to be this year? I don't know. So I'm like, I don't want to say I'm in the middle on this one, but I'm kind of in the middle because there are some markers and indicators that I like. But it's not a fully formed unit that I'm totally comfortable with that's nationally like relevant. Like, it's not that either. The defense was top 10 overall because it was a well-rounded defense at all different levels. but I need to know who's getting after the passer. Traore, that's what Adam's saying. Like I need those to really crank this baby up. I need those pillars in the middle to be reliable, like I think they are. And then I need guys that are going to make these havoc plays in the biggest moment, like unleash the dogs. That's where I'm at. But what I'm, Andrew, where I'm at is after this year, you're really getting more of a clean slate of these younger Freeman only type guy. That's where the real, you're going to start seeing a test. And I'm going to need some people to play well and get home and do all that. So I don't know. Development's tough to complain about because they outperformed my expectations last year. I did not expect Riley Mills and Howard Cross to be that good last year. I did not expect the transfer from Iowa State to be that good because you're thinking, why would you transfer from Iowa State if you were that good? You would be in the NFL or you'd be at Ohio State. Why would you come here? He outperformed my expectations. So I don't know if they get credit, if Washington gets credit for that, or it's just their natural development or what. But the next evolution of this is younger guys that could get after the quarterback, or this year, older guys that could get after the quarterback. I'll take it. $2 olive from Scott. Good morning to you, sir. Thank you for the donation. Means the world to me. Add it to the phone line funds. $20 olive from Connor. Thanks for calling, brother. Appreciate the call. Onward and upward. God, country, Notre Dame. Man, I love Notre Dame people. I love Notre Dame people. Jason Smith says, where's the development? Cross is an undersized D-line All-American. The two tackles are the top DTs in the country right now, aren't they? Is that not enough? Or like, who gets the credit for that development? Could you just say that's just them developing themselves? It doesn't have to do with Al Washington. I don't know. Indy only plays two linebackers most time, four D linemen a lot. They need to be recruiting better at D line than linebacker. I think it's the opposite right now. Yeah, it's Cross is a 6-year guy. Andrew, there's nuance to all this. So every time you bring something up on the plus, there's probably something you could dig to for a minus. Like, that's why we got to figure out where the realities are. Because you could, every time we bring something up, it's like, well, there's another reason that they could be doing, they could be good or whatever. Can anybody tell me if Bryce Young could play this year? Can anybody answer that? I do not know what the plan is there. Is he physically built enough at his size he could play early and contribute or no? I don't know the answer to that. You always hear, oh, this guy could see the field early. Half the time, that's just people say it and it never comes close to reality. Is that a player at his huge size and strength that could get out there early and contribute? I don't know. That's not a statement. That's a question. So I don't know. Just wondering. He should get some playing time. And again, you have that thing where if you play more than four games, then you lose that red shirt. So is that a part of this too, where, you know, you want to conserve that and not blow that and be careful with that? Or is he so good that it doesn't matter? Or you think he could be 3 years and done? I just don't know the reality of it. See, that's what's tricky when you say spot time. Spot time, how much? You can only spot time in four games, and then you lose the year. So, like, how spotty is the time? Is spot time a handful of snaps a game, and then you lose the red shirt? Or is spot time to you, Adam, pick your spots in three or four games to get the young guy in there? Those are different things to me. Those are very different things to me. Kent, it's good to have you around. I don't know where you were gone all those months, Kent. And then boom, you just show back up. And you want me to make a t-shirt with my face on it for your kid. Man, that's mean to do to her. You're going to. So I don't know. the D-line thing, you can always complain there ain't enough talent, right? D-line's a tough thing, man. And finding those animals that, that teams like Georgia have that are just that every next one of them that comes in is more dangerous than the previous one, and they just go rip everybody's head off. I obviously we need more of that. I'm in, Andrew, I'm not trying to play the middle just to play the middle. I understand some of what you're saying about some of the development and the elite recruiting or lack thereof. But I also see a lot of things on the positive end. He got more out of that unit last year than I expected. Who you're going to give credit for that for, we could debate. But his unit he oversaw played better than I thought. And you have two of the best defensive tackles in the country. Again, is that just their natural development and it didn't have to do with him? I don't know. But it's kind of like being president. When good things happen, you get the credit whether you were involved or not. And when bad things happen, you get the blame whether you did it or not. It's hilarious. The gas prices go up and then whatever, whoever the president is, when the gas prices go up, it's like, I don't know what you expect me to do about that. It's a big economic thing. More people are involved than just me. What do you want me to do? It ain't my fault the gas went up. As soon as the gas goes down, the tweets are out. Thank the president for getting the gas prices lower, saving the day for the American people. That's just the way this goes. Oh, man. Here's the other question. What about my guy, Brennan Vernon? You know, that's on my mind. Where does Brennan Vernon fit in this? Just because I know that family and all that from the recruitment. And then he had a year off, changed his body. I heard they're probably maybe bumping him inside, DT style. Is that a guy that can see the field and contribute? I don't know. I'm in the middle on this because I do see some markers that impressed me, but I'm also going to always say Notre Dame needs to recruit D-line better because for my entire life, Notre Dame's needed to recruit D-line better. You know, so I don't know. Tim, what's going on, buddy? Good to see you. I hope you had a, or see you. Good to hear from you. I hope you had a good St. Patrick's Day, buddy.
John, am I on?
You're on, my friend.
Oh, it didn't beep, so I didn't know it went over. No, I caught in. You shouldn't rip on yourself, dude. If you didn't take recruiting seriously back when you're in your 20s, and I know you seem truly happy now, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing.
Yeah, you know what? You're probably right, but I do... Tim, I think back of a lot of times I let that eat me alive and I know it was unhealthy, but genuinely like let it bother me, ruin my days, pouting around like it. I really took it seriously like when I was early 20s and it was not healthy. And I admit that. I'm just saying I admit that.
No, that's you're growing, but how about losses? We won't even talk about that.
We're trying to have a good, we're trying to have a good Monday here, Tim. Don't we're trying to,
no, if I go there negative, I get a little annoyed with your younger generation. Everybody's too giddy to get us in a damn conference. Would you get off that? If we're forced in, we're forced in, but for the love of God, you don't realize how much Notre Dame will change. And oh, let's join this. Let's do this. No, no, it'll be the saddest day. God can call me home. Come on.
Call me home. Tim, come on, Tim. You're not telling me that if Notre Dame has to go to a conference, no, you're going to be like, that's it. That's it. I'm totally done. I'm not even, but I know you don't mean that. Then if Notre Dame joined a conference, you would be on a rampage. If we joined the Big Ten, you would have a personal vendetta against every team every single week. You would be off, man. You would go off. Don't tell me you would check out.
People got to realize tough schedules. Look at the 80s. Do you realize who we opened up with every year for 6 years in a row? Pull up Holt's schedule. Look who our number one opponent was. From 84 to 88.
Was it Michigan? Yeah, I was going to say it had to be Michigan. They like playing them early. I just, man, I'm just trying. Maybe – Tim, follow me. Maybe some of this is me emotionally trying to get ahead of this train so that if it ever happens, the seed's already planted in my head and I have some time to get used to the idea. I think there's some of that going on with me and other people, even subconsciously, where in case we do ever have to do it, I'm just letting the idea get into my brain now so that it isn't like a total shock if it ever happens. But Tim, if we could compete as an independent, make the playoff, make enough money to compete, keep doing it your way. That's my preference.
I agree. Well, here's the other thing. The piece I saw out of the Irish Tribune said the money cuts were actually, when you factor it all in, we're getting more than some SEC schools.
Tim, are
you... So the money isn't that different.
Are you telling me that you don't think a Big Ten Notre Dame schedule would be awesome if we had to do it? I'm not saying it's a preference. I'm not saying it's...
We played that.
Huh?
All right, here's where the ultimate thing would maybe help us. Have the ACC go defunct, and then we wouldn't have to play five ACC schools.
Yeah.
Then, okay, if you want to do that, let's cut this deal with the since they were so anti-Catholic, let's do this. Let's go play five Big Ten teams. I'd rather do five Big Ten teams than five ACC.
Oh, me too.
But there are three big boy rivals in there. You kind of keep forgetting BC. No, all you got to do is say 93.
Yeah.
And you have Florida State and you have Miami if they're still in there.
Yeah, that's
three big boys.
That's fair. What, a lot of times when I bring this up, I do not include BC because of what they are now. It kind of overlooking some of that history.
No, you never forget, Jot. You never forget. Nope. You never forget.
That's
nope,
fair.
Nope.
Miami,
I don't think people quite realize Miami was a bigger hatred than USC because we kicked USC's ass when I was going through school and post that. We were on the 13-year winning streak. Miami was the Antichrist. Miami was so much hatred. Go back and watch the pregame on the 88 game. I know it's on YouTube. Go watch that and see. Trust me. You want to talk about an electric stadium? Oh, my God.
Yeah, and that was in the original small shell, and it was rocking too, man. That was all Irish energy, man. There was no echoing off the Jumbotron there. That was Tim yelling. That was young Tim yelling his heart out. That's what that was.
Yeah, well, it was, see, the only other one that came close, I'll give you two other ones, was 93 Florida State when we had no shot in hell to win, and that's when Notre Dame used to win great games. And we did, and then got screwed by the Bowden family. All three of their sons put us 10 when we beat their dad, and they had to give him a lifetime achievement award. And then you've got Penn State in the snowball, where Bettis spending his kid committing, catching the two-point conversion.
Yep. Tim, can I ask, what were you like when you were in school? If you're like this now, were you more intense or were you less intense because we were good in winning and you didn't have...
I would be more. Let's just say...
What would you be like?
Let's just put it... Listening, several things were broken when we lost. When we lost Holtz's first year, we lost five games by a total of 14 points. When we lost and had a person go on the one-yard line against LSU, I took a chair and destroyed it.
Hope it wasn't your favorite. Yes. Hope it wasn't the most comfortable one you had.
No, it was a wooden chair. They used to give you wooden chairs, and I just kind of destroyed it. No, you don't want to know. I'll put it this way. God put me at the right time. I would have been in trouble if there were ever camera phones and they caught things on videos.
Yeah.
So, no, I did not deal with losses very well at all. No, I did not.
You were able to get away with it, and if it wasn't caught in the moment, nobody knew what happened, right? Those are the good old days.
Exactly. Yeah. I had a few good RAs that covered for me.
Oh, Tim, man, I just – the intensity with which you love Notre Dame is genuinely – I love it. Like, it's dangerous. It's super dangerous, but I love it. I love it so much, man. You just care so much. What do you think of the women doing well? What do you make of all that? You're into all these other sports. What are you up on all those?
I like that we got a 2-seed, but the problem is look who they put us with, the undefeated team. I thought we'd only get a 3, so we get to host 2. The sad thing is we were fully strengthened. I'm not sure if that center is coming back, so we might only have 6 scholarship players. That's great. She's a great coach. She recruits her ass off. She's like Marcus Freeman. She puts the effort in and recruits. I will be shocked if she doesn't have one day hang a banner. I just will be.
Yeah.
And you got to look at the lacrosse programs. We had a great win. I knew you had to enjoy that. Destroying Michigan like that, that was great. We just won the Big Ten. Big Ten lacrosse was pretty good. We took out their top three teams. So they're good. And the women, out of nowhere, I didn't even know they were that good. I knew they had beaten Northwestern, but they took down another top seed over the weekend. So I don't know. Maybe we can pull Connecticut like they used to in basketball and win two titles in that sport. I don't know a damn thing about it. I like watching. It's okay. I hate – it's tough to watch a sport you can't break down with, like, the other three, like baseball, basketball, and football. But all kudos. And fencing, God love them. If you can watch a fencing match, God love you. I mean, let them hang a banner.
I know. It's funny, dude. It's like you can watch the fencing match or you like watch Pirates of the Caribbean or something where they're sword fighting. I don't know. Yeah. It's just funny how like you get points for hitting a guy in the face. I don't know. And the uniforms are kind of goofy.
You can't break it down. I have to be able to break down the sport.
Yeah, so. Like the uniforms are funny. You got the beekeeper mask. I like the beekeeper mask on guard. I like that little Zorro. My nickname would be Zorro. I would like that. I need to get into fencing. It'd be a good release for me to stab some stuff. I think I should look into it.
Get a punching bag and then like hang like, I don't know, a Michigan logo right in the middle of it.
Yeah, I like that. A big blown up picture of Kelly grinding on a recruit and I can punch at it. I like that.
Oh, that game, will you put that on? Because my friend's trying to go to it because we're still trying to figure out if the A&M game's going to be a Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. Mm. But I saw they moved SC and LSU to Sunday night in Vegas.
Oh, did they?
So, I didn't. Who do you root for in that? Blow the thing up?
I root for USC. I'll root for USC.
Yeah, I hate that. I know I got to say this. The only reason I will. Our strength of schedule. That's the only spin I can put on it.
That's the spin.
I hate Kelly with a passion. You know that.
Yeah, that's the spin.
SC's strength of schedule.
Yeah, I was going to I would root for USC because I think that I just want Kelly to lose. And it would prop Notre Dame up if we could go beat them later. So Tim, I don't know. There's a lot in the mix here. What is your thought about spring practice? We're getting back into it now after the break. I'd love to hear what you want to come next or what you're looking next. What would excite you? What would make you nervous? What are your priorities here for this second part of spring?
The key thing, no key injuries. We don't need that. And the other thing, and I know you're right, and I can't argue against you. I wish I could. But these coaches, their jobs are on the line. And I know it's NIL money, and I know we're in a different world. But you've got to play the best player. If this clown from Duke is not the best quarterback, that's a problem with me. Just buy him out and send him away because I don't know if he's going to be another Hartman. But you're right. You've nailed it, John. The people aren't fired up about this guy because Hartman let us down. And I don't see this. I mean, this guy was supposedly, if he doesn't get hurt, is an NFL prospect. Okay. Let's see if he is. I mean, but if you're telling me there's a guy behind him that's better that can help you win, you're crazy not to play him.
Yeah.
I don't get why that guarantees you a job. That's the one thing that disgusts me about college football anymore. It's a payday versus who the best player should play. So that's the biggest thing I want to say. And I agree with you. I'm not a moron. I know damn well it's coaches speaking. You're right. People got to be stupid. It disgusts me, though, because you're telling me Buckner maybe had been better than Hartman last year? That one I didn't see, but if that was true, then God love them. Then you're the ones that are going to lose your job.
Yeah, it's. I am just saying. I've noticed there is not near as much hype around Riley Leonard that there was when Hartman came in here, and I don't know if that's good or bad for Riley Leonard. Maybe that'll help him fly under the radar. There is just no juice. Like all the talk of the quarterbacks is about all the other ones and the younger ones and one that isn't even here yet. It's wild, but there's just not a lot of talk about Riley Leonard. I don't know what to make of it. Good, bad, or neutral. I don't know.
Are they just a force in today's world? The only way you're getting that transfer? But here's the other thing I thought. If they really thought the guys in the room take Notre Dame to the promised land, then they wouldn't have went out and got Leonard. You got to think, they're not stupid. They all only know they got to win. So I can't, there had to be something missing in their minds. I don't know. I'm not there day in and day out. You can't judge unless you are.
Tim, here's something to think about. Freeman's first year, he didn't go into the portal and get a quarterback, hitched the wagon to Buckner. He got hurt and it screwed up everything. I think in that moment, Freeman said, never again. I'm never again going to put myself in a position where if one guy gets hurt, I have nothing to turn to. I think that sticks with him. And he said, never again. And they're going hard at quarterbacks. They have multiple guys layered. And I think that sticks with him as never again. I'm never letting myself be that vulnerable. But that's how you end up with a little bit of a crowded room. And I'm here for it, man. Give me as many good options as possible. They just got to figure out what the pecking order is.
True. And you nailed it. And guess whose fault why he didn't anybody hitch his wagon to? Lazy liberal from LSU. He wouldn't recruit, do the work. Now we have a gluttony of quarterbacks.
Dude, the little things that you – sometimes some of your zingers are like – they're like blended in a bigger thing you say, and then you throw like a little zinger in there, but you don't even change your tone. You just like shoot it, and then it's in there, and you got to find it. Like, dude, you were like – I'm afraid if you and I met up, what would happen? I'm afraid. I think we would get in trouble or something. I just think we would get in trouble somehow.
I would cry for a week. If we ever win a title?
Oh, I know.
Be crying for a week.
I know. Me too.
That party would be insane.
Oh, I want to have it. Like we will. I'm putting it out in the ether, trying to will this to reality. If Notre Dame ever does that, we are having the biggest party you'll ever know, and everybody's invited. I don't care if you hate me or love me. You're invited. Come party. We're doing it.
Yeah. I don't care why people don't like you. You get it. And I'll close with it. You have a good day, man. But I don't get why people have so much resentment towards Freeman. My God, they would have ran Holtz out of town. We've lost a couple games we shouldn't have. Okay, I'll give you that. But look what he's done. And he cares, and he recruits. It does matter that he's bonding with these other coaches because other programs can help you recruit. I just don't get why people are so negative towards Freeman. I just don't understand that. I just don't.
I don't know, man. I'm with you on that one. I just, people want less losses, Tim. People want less losses. I don't know what to tell you. Marcus Tenman. People don't like that stuff, and they're ready for it to turn around. But, Tim, I think some of these people are just hedging their emotions. They've been burned so much, they don't want to buy into something because they fear that they're going to get let down again. I feel some of that energy. People are just kind of hesitant to buy in because every time they've done it in their lives, if you're my age, you don't get anything out of it but misery, and people are hesitant to buy in.
Well, how about going from the other opposite? Grant, I've had some positives where a long stretch was 5 years. I've now lived 33.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a long time. That's a long, long time.
Jay, the last class. Jay Carr, I did not say I'm edging. People are hedging their emotions. These are different things, my friend. That's funny though. So Tim, I don't know, man. I don't know. I think there's a lot of these people that say things to me or about Freeman, and deep down they want to believe, they want it to all work out. I think they feel a little better about it than they'll admit publicly, but they feel the need to protect themselves from buying in and looking like a fool, which has happened every time. If you're my age, every time you buy in, you get let down 1 minute later. People feel that. It's been a long time of that, man, and it's going to take legitimate results to crack people out of it.
True, but the only question you always hit them with, who do you want to hire, and who will take the job and care as much? And then I want an intelligent person to come back and give me an answer.
Tim, I value effort a lot more than certain people do. I've learned that the last few months. I value the genuine work ethic of this staff, and that buys them a little more understanding and leeway with me, because at the end of the day, I know even if things aren't perfect, I feel they're doing all they can to improve them. I didn't feel that with previous coaches since Lou. That buys them a little more understanding from me because the effort is there. And I think do that, and it means more to me than it does some other fans, and I understand that. That's fair. That's just a difference. But I can't get over that. I can't get over that the effort thing.
And you're 100% right. And think about the three previous coaches didn't live and die in their name. They didn't buy in. It was just a job to them. Freeman has bought in.
Yeah.
That's the difference. The Leahy spirit. I have a question because you did research on him. I know your book. He retired at an early age, and I know he never went back into coaching. What did he go into? Because there's no way he would have made enough money to retire back then. They didn't pay coaches that much, especially out of Notre Dame. Do you know what he did after he got out of coaching?
Died. he wasn't healthy, man. Notre Dame wore the guy into the ground. He started having health issues. And then he died young. Notre Dame put him in an early grave, man. He was not that old, and it got to him. So I think a little media stuff. He had a lot of business deals. He had some good business deals and promotional stuff going on. Okay. But the guy aged out and phased out quick, man. He went downhill, and the stress of the super chats on the Always Irish show were too much for him. 70 years ago, I don't know, all the pressure. Oh,
well, you have a great day, my friend.
You too, man. Hey, Tim, I love you for you, man. Never, never hold back. This is a beautiful thing, man. Always do you. Have a good one.
You take care.
Later. Oh, that guy is a riot. There's just an intensity to his voice. It's just the delivery is just intense. It's great. Oh, man. Oh, boy. John, if BK ever did the 10-man on the field against Ohio State, he'd be getting crushed week after week. You barely hear about it anymore under Freeman. Maybe you're proving my point that when you're an asshole, people are going to pile on. And when you're a guy they like that made a genuine mistake but is honestly trying as hard as you can, maybe people are more forgiving. Maybe, like, honestly, maybe that's a part of it. I was always looking for Kelly to make a misstep to nail. You know why? Because he was a prick. He didn't try hard, and he treated everybody like they were morons and below him. Also, I'm still befuddled by the amount of people that want a guy in year one to operate the same as a guy on year 40. It blows my mind that it's just, you can say, once you're at Notre Dame, you got to be expected to win and everything. You can say that all you want, and it's a tough guy argument, and on the surface, it's true. But you also know it's not reality. You can't, I say it all you want. On paper, it's true. In theory, I agree with you. In practicality, it doesn't go that way. It doesn't go that way. So, whatever. And the other thing is, if BK ever did the 10-man on the field, he'd be getting crushed week after week. His 10-man on the field was losing to Tulsa and then telling you to get used to it afterwards. Like, if we want to do this, we could do this. There was no Twitter then. There was no Twitter then, but I would have roasted him every day forever. That was kind of his 10-man on the field, is messing up Tulsa and then getting in there and having the balls to tell you to get used to it. He made the mistake, lost to Tulsa, and then got up there and told you to get used to it. So I just, you can't expect a guy in year one or two to be as polished as a guy in year 35 or 40. It's unrealistic. You could say once you're at Notre Dame, you got to win and it doesn't matter any of those details. I get all that, but it's just not reality. But I do think there's something too. I do think there's something too. The idea. Oh, geez, here we go. Crying belly. It's pathetic to see this channel cower in fear. The mere thought of a bad Texas and A&M team and then cry when people say ND is irrelevant. Oh, boy. Here's the deal. If you are actually listening to what I've been saying and not just creating your own angles for clickbait, you would see that what I've been saying repeatedly, including Saturday night, was... Oh my God. What I've been saying is, I am not afraid of Texas A&M, the team. I am not afraid of their talent. I am concerned about Notre Dame in a moment that is that big. Crying, can we separate the two? Are you with me? Are you able to understand what I'm telling you? I am not afraid of Texas A&M's players. Oh, I'm worried they're going to beat us up or what? No. I am concerned about a moment this big where Notre Dame's failed in it my entire life. Separate the two. Separate the two things. Use your brain. Understand it. Crying's always negative about Notre Dame, negative on Freeman, negative on everything. Well, if your theme here is to always lean to the negative side, you should be on my side and understand what the hell I'm telling you then. That's your thing. Every single thing I say positive about Notre Dame, you're saying negative. Every time I say something good about the staff or about Freeman, you go negative. That is your angle, is the negative glass half empty on all of this shit. So then you should be on my side and fully understand the Texas A&M concern. Be consistent, crying. You're all negative. Then you should totally understand why I'm concerned about A&M. And for the 50th time, it isn't their talent. It's the totality of what that moment's going to be that I've seen Notre Dame fail in my entire life. Use your brain and separate it. I'm not scared of their players, man to man. Notre Dame's failed in this big of a moment my entire life. That's what I'm afraid of. Pat, if Freeman loses to A&M, what do you think is going to happen to Freeman? I don't even know what that means. I don't know what that means. What's going to happen to Freeman? He's going to try better the next week. Literally, that's what it means. He's going to try harder the next week, and I'm going to be miserable, and you guys are all going to tell me I'm an idiot because I like a coach that lost to Texas A&M on the road. That's what's going to happen. But I don't know what that question means at a bigger scale. What do you think they're going to do? Kick him out of the team plane and tell him to get a taxi? That's just not going to happen. That's just not going to happen. I went on this rant last week. I think I even put it on Patreon or something. What if he goes 9-3 or whatever? If Freeman goes 9-3 this year, what's going to happen? I know what's going to happen. I am going to yell a lot. You're going to yell a lot. Everybody's going to say I'm dumb for liking Freeman. And then you know what's going to happen? They're going to rack it up again and try next year and try not to lose three games. And again, here's the other thing too. And this goes all the way back. You got to tell me why. Kelly, with almost 40 years of experience, got away with non-elite results for year after year after year after year, treated people like crap, talked down to you and the fans and the media and everybody year after year. He did that. And everybody was telling me on this show, half the people were telling me, John, this is as good as it gets, best since Lou, this is Notre Dame, he's winning 10, 11 games, even undefeated, even if we get blown out in the playoff, don't worry about it, it's better than anything we've had since Lou. John, you're on great. You know how many emails I got calling me an asshole that I was ungrateful for Kelly, and you don't know how good you have it, and this is as good as it gets now, you got to take this. And it's the best since Lou. You have no appreciation, all of that. People carried all that water for Kelly when he never won one bowl game anybody cares about at Notre Dame. People carried water for him year over year over year over year. Marcus Freeman comes in here, and in 2 years, he's got to be perfect. I can't understand why the standard changed. I can't understand why the standard changed. And you can't argue. Kelly could get away with all that and talk down to you. And everybody seemed okay with it. And then the new guys here that has no experience, and suddenly the standard is perfection or you're fired. Why wasn't Kelly held to that? He had over a decade and couldn't win one bowl game anybody's proud of. But Freeman, and that's fine. We just kept doing it year after year after year. Keep doing the same. Year after year after year. Keep doing the same shit. Make me lose my fucking mind. Year after year after year. Keep doing the same thing. Get no results. Year after year after year. And Kelly went in there and just told you, this is what it is here. They just accept it year after year after year. No good results. No good results. No good results. Nothing different. No trophies in a case anybody cares about ever. And he got away with it forever. Now Freeman's here and he's got to be perfect year one or year two, or we ride him out of town. I don't understand. And on that, I'm done. Talk to you later. Thanks for being here. Thanks for donating.